I'm broken, I am anchored. Been cut down and I'm lifted up. I feel love when I'm in harvest wood assembly.
Welcome to Harvest Wood Assembly.
Hallelujah. It's so beautiful to be here today, and I promise that I won't ask for extra time, and that Pastor David, once you do it once, I will hear you. I promise the church. Hallelujah. So whenever you guys see me here, please be reminded that my presence here is simply to gist with you. So when Pastor realizes that he has said a lot of very serious things, you know, he just decides and says, Agnes, go and gist with the church. So we'll be doing a lot of gisting today. Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Don't want to gist. So as we gist, we would listen to the real person who is the Holy Spirit, to teach us, to mold us, to meet us in that little secret place and just address the issues of our hearts. So, brethren in the Lord, I was asked what my topic for today is, and I really couldn't get one out. So we'll start with Gist with the Father first. So this is Gist with the Father service. Amen? Okay, so when I was preparing for today, I said the prayer of Jesus, if this cup could pass me by, O Lord. So I was still expectant of a miracle till this morning.
Hallelujah.
But here I am. So during counseling to stand in your presence today, I asked a few questions. And I was told to tell the truth about how my week went. And I pray that the Lord would also meet whoever it is that needed to hear this. So between last week Thursday and this week Thursday, my generator changeover gave up. My generator started spilling oil. My two ACs got spoiled. My fridge got spoiled. And according to the first repairer, I was condemned. So, and finally, when I said, no matter what I see, at least this fan will blow me. The wire to the fan got burnt. Praise the Lord. So from that Thursday, I got home. Or when I was working, I couldn't work from home most of the time. So I'll get home and I'll sit down and I will look and I would look at. And gradually I began to enter into depression. Very little like that. It's as little as I couldn't even raise up my head to say thank you, Jesus, because there was nothing to really seemingly thank God for. How can everything spoil at the same time between Thursday to Thursday? And so on Wednesday, I was gisting with some friends, and then I remembered that about 7 weeks ago in church, I was sitting in front here, and the pastor had said something about the Lord would visit someone, and I had 7 weeks. And I calculated 7 weeks, and that 7 weeks was going to be on the 12th of March. So on a good day, maybe I would have been more conscious of that. I would have praised God more. I would have opened my heart to all of this. But I didn't do any of that really, because I literally couldn't remember that. It was so bad that I started snapping at people around me on the phone and all. But when I was gisting with a friend, the person just said, don't you think that God wants to do something in your life this period? And the devil is just like, hey, how do I call it? You know, when he's tried all means and hasn't gotten you and just starts pinching you. You know, just pinching here. And that was the description the person gave. And so I sat down and I said, I haven't even called other repairers. Why am I just giving up like that? So I prayed and I picked up my phone and I called the next repairer and he came. And he says, oh, it's repairable. I said, okay, take it. You know, and then when he called the price, you know when you have thought that you are going to pay like six times of the amount to do that thing, and he calls the price and you are too... You don't know how to say, are you sure? Do you need more money? Like, are you sure this is the cost? So just to show the Igbo side of me, I removed it by 1,000 or 2,000. He said, no, madam. I said, no, you can't take it. Go. you know. And then from nowhere, I also called the AC guy. He came. And what it would have cost me wasn't what it cost me, and he did it. So yes, on Friday night, NEPA now decided not to bring lights. I said, to test all these things that they have repaired, to test it. So I waited patiently. So Saturday, while I was there, and I just realized what God had done. I opened this period also, when my friend finished speaking to me, I went to get what I called my gratitude journal. I've had it in my head. I've just never had it physically. And so I began to write. And as I was writing, what I can tell you vividly happened to me was that my joy started being restored gradually. I began to pick my calls. I began to write people back. I began to actually even talk to God better. You know, and so on Saturday, I looked around, and you would not believe that that is a house that everything wasn't working, because everything had been fixed with the kind of money that on a good day, you know, I can do without. So it just brought to my consciousness that God has gone ahead. God knows. He's met you. And guess what? He has provided. Because that money was there, and I was more like, okay, I will keep it. But I knew it was for something somehow. So all of a sudden, it just made sense. So this is just to anyone who right now, the situations around you, what you are looking at is not looking so much like God is in the room with you. I'm here today to tell you that God is not just in the room with you. He's walking already on your behalf. He's gone ahead of you. He's provided. He's spoken to someone. He's put the right people in the right room on your behalf. And we just believe this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Okay, so that was just an aside. Let's go on now. So our team as a church for 2021 is, you know, part of his, what? Beautiful. So, greater works. And our anchor scripture is John 14:12. Please, can we have it? Basically, we'll just be talking about it. If you can have it in the amplified version, that would be wonderful. Yes. Okay, so it says, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do. And he will do even greater things than this, because I go to the Father. Hallelujah. Now, let's underline a few things. Don't underline it in your Bible, in case Pastor preaches this again, you'll not be wondering, what did I underline? But let's just note this. Assure anyone believes, do things that I do, do greater things. These are real, you know, this is the crux of this verse. And so the chapter begins with Jesus reassuring his disciples, asking them to calm their troubled hearts. And I was talking from John 14, verse 1. So he tells them to calm their troubled hearts. And he says the way this can be done is through believing. He says, believe confidently in God and trust in him. Have faith. Hold on to it. Rely on it. Keep going and believe also in me. That was how he started that chapter of John 14. In summary, what he was saying was, for my heart to be calm, I have to believe. To do greater works, I have to believe. That's the summary of what it was all about. Okay. So let's journey together. So after Jesus reassures the disciples, you know, starting with their hearts, Before I proceed with that, let me digress a little. You see this thing called our heart, yeah? Many of our mistakes as Christians is how we have underestimated the power of our hearts. Okay? Because it reminds me of our tongue, the power of our tongue a lot of times. And our heart is way, way, way more powerful. You know, especially when we do not fully commit or commend it to the Holy Spirit. I've been in situations where that part of the scripture that says the heart of man is desperately wicked. I look at myself and say, Agnes, Kai, you're wicked. Because by myself, I have plotted it. I have delivered it. You know how they do pre-post production? I've done it in my head. And I'm like, how can your heart And I'm supposed to be one of those who loves God. So how can my heart be able to conceive this level of wickedness? Sometimes the rate at which I want to go back and, you know, just confront issues. And I say all this to actually bring out my humanity and also to let everyone know that the state of our hearts, a lot of times, we're not even, if the Holy Spirit does not show us, we do not know what we carry. Have you gotten a situation where, you know, somebody offended you, you've forgiven the person and everything, then the person is doing something like naming ceremony, wedding, or something, and they call you, and all of a sudden you're like, why, what is, what? You know, you're even making those remarks, you don't know why. You don't know why sometimes. A lot of times, you don't know why. Because in your heart of hearts, you have forgiven, you have let go. It takes the searching of the Holy Spirit. The part where David says, search my heart, search me, O God. And see if there be any wickedness in me. Because the truth of the matter is, a lot of times we carry things. Something as small as, you know, you stepped on me. You didn't greet me the way you greeted that person. And you've carried it in your heart. And the heart remembers such things. It remembers. Have you had conversations with your parents where they'll say, you know, you come back to ask them, Mommy, why did you say we should not go and visit this person? Why did you say we should not wear what this person gave us and all? And it's something as little as, when I was pregnant of you, she saw me and then she carried her face away. That's when I knew that she's evil. So I told you all your life, stay away from her. And guess what? That day, whether the woman, her issue in the house was more than your mother and her pregnancy. She didn't even know your mother was pregnant of you. And so we have to fully every day, and this is me just being taken an aside. We have to fully every day, as we renew our minds, also ask the Lord to please search our hearts. As humans, as people, we cannot do it on our own. We cannot do it on our own. We have to commend our hearts to the Holy Spirit. And just to buttress this, in Romans 10:10, it said there that, for it is with your heart you believe, with your mouth you confess that Jesus is Lord. So your very journey as a lover of Christ, because now the terminology of Christian and religion is a different debate on its own. So even your very essence as a lover of Christ, the foundation of it comes from your heart, because you have to first of all even what? Believe. Praise God. Proverbs 4:23 also tells us that above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be. These are just the ones that came out to me as a person. These are the ones that I flow with most of the time. But if you must know, there are many other verses in the Bible, you know, that talks about your heart. I think about 48, if not more, you know, that speaks about various aspects of your heart. And I think this is just to outline to us how the state of that part of us can positively or negatively affect our level of belief, our level of intimacy, and our level of communication with God. Okay, I didn't want to do this, but I'm sorry. I promised the Holy Spirit I was going to obey. God help me. Adeomi, the Lord says it's time and it's now. No more delay. It's time and it's now. Praise God. Like Pastor will say, speaking about the heart is a whole series of its own, which we will gist about someday. You know how Pastor used to say, please write it down. The next time I come, we will gist about the heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. So back to the scripture. Jesus reassures their hearts. Back to the scripture we're talking about. Jesus reassures the heart of his disciples, you know. And he tells them, please do not be afraid. Then he moves to talking about preparing them rooms in his father's house. I'm giving like a summary of this chapter. Then he moves to talking about, you know, preparing their rooms in the father's house. And then that was when Thomas spoke about his insecurity. And this insecurity, we will get to it later in the day, because as much as all of us want to say that Thomas was a little, I mean, come on, how could he? I think that all of us, one time or the other in our life, even presently as we speak, are in that position. Pastor preached extensively last week or upper week about, you know, Thomas and the questions he asked. So go get the tape. Philip speaks about showing him the Father. He asks the question about showing him the Father. And that's what provokes the response of this, our anchor scripture. As Jesus answers him, Jesus' answer to him was simply, I am in the Father and the Father in me. These are all in the scripture. So sorry that I'm not calling. It's the same chapter. I am in the Father and the Father is in me. He responds that the work that he does isn't by his own authority, but by the Father's authority. Then he goes ahead to say, if you don't believe by looking at me, at least believe because of the miracles that you have witnessed. Believe because of the miracles you have seen. Believe because of the miracles you have felt. Believe because of the miracles you have experienced. Praise God. I'll take us back to the meaning of believe. Hallelujah. Like I said, we are just gisting. There's no phronesis and synesis here. So belief says, accept that something is true, especially without proof. So when Jesus says, believe that I am in the Father, you may not be able to believe that because we have not seen the Father. You understand what I'm saying? So you are the one who told us. Right? So if both of us are wearing two different glasses right now, and you tell me that when you look there, you see six, and you come and you tell me that you are looking, seeing nine, it's different perspectives. So I can come from the perspective of Jesus says that he's in the Father. It's fine. I've heard you. And Jesus says, okay, even if you don't believe me based on that, can you at least believe me based on the things that you have seen? Praise God. So you saw me, I sent Peter, I brought out coins from the mouth of the fish. You saw me, we used five loaves of bread and two fishes. We were able to do what? We were able to feed thousands. You saw me, the lame walked. You saw me, the dead rose. You've seen so many things. So if you don't even believe me because, you know, if you don't even believe me as regards me saying that the authority that I weighed is from the Father, at least believe me because you have been with me. You have seen this works. And this is what Jesus was telling them. And that brings us back to square one. To me, it looks like Jesus was trying so hard to bring them to a place where they could say, in spite of not understanding you, Jesus, in spite of not understanding these things that you do, in spite of not understanding most of the words that you say, I believe. So as much as Jesus was trying to call them to that, I feel that this is the crux of the matter for today. If the disciples who ate, dined, and slept with Jesus were being spoken to because of their level of belief was shaken, then I must sit up and not glide over the condition for greater works. At the beginning we started, the scripture clearly says, if you believe in me, greater works than I have done you will do. So the condition is actually believing in Jesus. Praise God. And then remember that that place also says anyone. Anyone. And for me, that kind of helps me. Because there's this jealousy that comes out of you when I didn't know that. When I just gave my life to Christ, I used to be very, very excited about everything. Everything. If the pastor preached about anything, I saw the experience of that week. So when pastor is talking about it, I smell because that was my life story too. If pastor says somebody is going to get money this week, guys, it may be me, it may not be me, but don't worry. I'm coming back the next Sunday to tell you of three people that gave me money. It was almost unbelievable when I started getting to the part of having to pray and believe. That wasn't how, and what I'm talking about happened for close to 2-3 years of my Christian life. I will tell you, don't worry, give me 2 weeks. I'm telling you, 2 weeks, it will come. That week pastor preaches it, it will come. And this, now I hear people and I'm a little jealous. When people come back and tell me immediately that, as pastor was saying it, let me even be very vulnerable. There was a day we were here and mama came forward and gave her testimony. And the way she said it, and I'm like, not the same church we do. If we look and well, whether Bella even paid me that day. Do you understand? But when I looked at her, my learning that day was more of, this is someone who believes, who trusts, who took the word and ran with it. I will get to the part of how comfortable we have become. I think that's the end of this discussion. These are our gist. Let me continue so that I feel like I'm very prepared. Now, hallelujah. Now, this would have been a motivational speech by Jesus. You know, anyone who believes in me, you know, greater works than I have done, you will do it. It reminds me so much of our motivational speakers. You aspire to inquire, to require, and to perspire. You know, that kind of thing. The only difference in this case is that changes what Jesus said from seemingly a motivational speech to reality is that we saw it happen in the life of his disciples. And I like the way the Lord tells me stories of the Bible. You see, when Jesus was walking that day, you know, with everyone, and he was just walking, and one woman just believed him and touched the hem of his garment. Jesus stopped. There was a lot of drama around it. So I picture it like, you know, you're going with a crowd, a big boy, and then you just stop. Like, power just left me. Guys, power left me. Who touched me here? You know? And because the Bible even records that the woman was a little scared before she actually now came out to speak. So it must have been a lot of, she had to come out to the spotlight. You know, and then when she came out was when Jesus now even took time to look at her and like, you know, your faith has healed you. You know that kind of thing now. But you see, greater works than this you will do. I now picture Peter. And Peter is walking. Peter does not have time. His shadow is healing. It is the shadow. He doesn't have time to say, you touched my garment, you held my hand. I'm just wondering that if, as an Igbo girl, I was in that time, do you think Peter will wash his clothes and leave it outside? No, he dares not. I will open shop. Praise God. He dares not. Do you understand? Because his greater works than this is what the Lord has said. And yes, they went through their own drama. They went through their own belief and everything. But they got to a point where they began to live it. It became their life. It was no more touch my garment. It was no more touch my head. It was even as far as handkerchief will go to places away and people will be healed. Do you understand? Like, Jesus took all the drama to go to the houses when this person was preaching Paul, and the guy fell down. He just went there, touched him, left the place, went up to continue preaching because he knew that greater works he already has. There's no need to start saying Talitha Kum, all those. He had gotten to a realm where he knew that if Jesus did it like this, I can do. Do you understand? So we go on, and then another one that just fascinates me is that's the only way I understand the Bible, drama. So Judas, they were all eating together, and then Jesus goes. So Jesus has a fizzy, I swear. Somebody here is going to betray me. You already knew now. And he just said, Judas, bring the bread. We know, just, you know, when he went on, someone here is going to betray me and everything. And Judas even, you know what I had to say, is it me? But then there's another action that I like. You see, when Jesus had left and then the disciples had begun to do their community life, people began to sell their properties, people began to sell things. And then two husband and wife came and thought they could lie. It was their burial we heard about later. I'm just trying to paint a picture of how great these works we are capable of doing it. The power that the Lord has given unto us. So if Jesus brought out a coin from the the mouth of the fish through Peter to pay for tax, it means that we can get money from anywhere to pay for any need that comes up. If Jesus could go and say, go and pick a camel somewhere, a donkey somewhere, he does not know the owner, nothing. It means that we can get to a point where we say, you know what, I want to work here. This is where I'm going to work because there are souls to be won here, because they don't know anything here, because I'm going to be a vessel. Lord, I'm coming here to get a letter. I'm getting a job here, and it's doable. I say all of this to say that Jesus had there's one more here. Jesus had the privilege to stand in front of the government during his persecution, during his death, when they were asking him all the questions and all. The only thing Jesus provoked out of everyone was pity. But Paul had the same privilege. And when he sat down there, when Paul finished speaking, you know, when he faced everything, someone there, a very great governmental person, said, "I almost believed and converted you so short a time." Seriously, it's in the Bible. It's in Acts 26, verse 28. And this was said by Agrippa. It's just like, okay, if not because of our guys, if not because there's a source of living in this, if not because, guy, I'm with you. I want to tell you, please, bring me cross. Let me go. Greater works. Hallelujah. So yes, it is very possible to do greater works than Jesus did. He says Jesus was mighty and he did mighty things. But the scripture says we are mighty and we can do mightier things than Jesus did on earth. So the question is, what identity do we have of ourselves? What identity do we have of ourselves? And I'll bridge this quickly. I didn't write this down, but even as I speak, when you come into the recognition and into the full capacity of who you are, when you come into the full capacity of who you are, what you carry, a lot of things will change. There's a mind shift. There's a very serious mind shift. You go beyond what you seemingly see. And I'll give you a very short life experience. So one day when I was still working in my former place of work, we were traveling. And we had just landed, we're getting into that shuttle to take us to where we can, you know, disembark and everything. And the shuttle was full. And a particular man, you know, at the last minute wanted to come in. So because of he was the last person, he came with a lot of drama. The car stopped, he came in. And then he just greeted and began to have a conversation with me. But me, in my mind, I was like, hey, these people said, they don't even used to try. Because if you see, what he wore was like a very faded old shirt. Then he had these Prada slippers. So the first thing that came to my head was, this guy could not even buy the one that did not write Prada. Share everybody that is wearing fake things. Because the Prada was written so well. The shirt did not match the Prada. The trouser did not match the Prada. So, my brothers and my sister, it was fake. So, we went for a meeting. And because it was a high-level political kind of meeting, it was held at the Transcorp, the 10th floor. So we got there. And what do I know? I carried my paper and biro. It's writing that brought me here. Let me write the right I want to write. You know, and we had a lot of... Then they were doing one group meeting in Abuja of policy. You know how they used to get everybody. So they were there, coming to have dinner or something. And then, as I was writing, I started hearing hails. Okay, meanwhile, the man had said, can he ride with me to Abuja City? And I was like, no, me, I'm with my boss, so I can tell my boss to. And I said, no, he thought I was alone. I said, okay. So I was even happy. I would like to tell my boss, this fake guy wants to follow us. So we got to Transcorp now, sat down there. I just heard, I don't want to call names, but I heard very powerful people in Nigeria just started shouting. You know, there's a quietness, and they just started shouting, and they were hailing, and they were shouting, Ogao, my Ogama. And I looked up. Lo and behold, it was my fake Prada guy. Apparently, that Prada was not fake. The Prada was the kind of Prada that even right now I still can't afford. It was a Prada. And I'm very sure that it must have even been a very serious top edition Prada. So I looked at this man. And the long story, but I'm just going to stop it here. Because the main thing I wanted to say was, he had gotten to a point in his life where how he looked, what he wore, did not describe him. Imagine if it was me. You guys, calm down. So the pastor will allow me to come back on the pulpit now. Is this online? You know, Imagine if it was any of us. Let me not use me. Humility is a prayer point. No, humility is still a prayer point for me. So let's use people that are very humble, like Pastor David. People like Femi, those people. Kenny's like me. We know like minds. Praise God. So I'm praying that even as we joke and we laugh about these things, that there are actually some heart surgeries going on. And that's our identity. When you know who you are, there are some doors you just know will open. There are some things you don't fret about. Can you imagine, you know, the daughter of the president fretting over school fees? Can you imagine her even fretting about who she will marry? Can you imagine her fretting? I think even if she frets about not having a child, forget it. We will do IVF until the VF turns to F. It will come. Do you understand where I'm coming from? We put in every technology. We will do everything. He would give the very last and very best. And then here we are. Kings. The Bible calls us royal priesthood, a holy nation. And every time, like me, we are crying over AC and generator that spoils. The littlest things. The things that you will look at and you will smile and say, is this your best? Bring more. It's what we cry about. Amen. So, let me tie all of this together so that we can conclude and pray. Pastor David. Amen. So in other words, if truly the scripture is true, then the only reason I am not working in greater work is because somewhere at the back of my mind, I do not fully believe. Praise God. Hear me out before anyone stones me and makes me a martyr. You see, Jesus assured us that if we believe in him, we will do as he did. That's the only condition I see there. If you believe in me, you will do just as I did. You will not even do as I did. You will do greater than I have already done. Because I'm going and I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. So the question is, and I cannot answer for everyone, because even me, I'm yet to know the answer for myself, is why don't I believe Jesus? We are all Christians because we believe that Jesus is Lord, right? We confessed him with our mouth because we believed in our heart. So if all it takes to do greater works is believing in Jesus, what's the problem? Maybe it's because the last time I totally believed in him, by my standards, he disappointed me and I felt like a fool. Maybe because he's too slow. Maybe because I don't know how to believe in him. Maybe because I'm not even aware that I don't believe in him. Maybe because he has hurt me by being absent, and so I must make my own plan B, plan C, and plan D. Maybe because he is God and I cannot question him, so how can I hold him accountable for these things that I want? Maybe it's none of these things I have mentioned, and maybe this does not relate to you, but I feel strongly that the table the Lord will have me shake today is, do you believe in me? And it reminds me of a conversation he had with his disciples where he said, who do people say that I am? And it wasn't so much about what do people say that I am or who. He was coming down to something. He was, who do you say that I am? So, Agnes, who is God? Who is Jesus to you? How much of him do you believe? I'm a Christian. I was born a Christian from my mother's womb. They prophesied that I would do signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Many of us, that's our story. But today Jesus is asking, do you even know me? Do you know the capacity of myself that I have put inside of you? If you put me and my siblings here, you would know that we are related. If you don't know by looking at us, you will know by the way we speak. If you don't know by the way we speak, you will know by our mischief comes from our Father. But you will know. And we are adopted sons. So we did put Jesus and put us and say definitely, this is the sister, this is the brother to Jesus. When was the last time you even thought about Jesus and said, you know what? Reveal yourself to me. The Bible says he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. So there's a lot of things centered around him, and yet I doubt if we know who Jesus is. And you want to know how you this was a shocker to me, but you know how you know these things and the state of your heart regarding this matter? Songs that you sing and that you worship, when they call you up to come and pray or worship, you already have a mantra. Thank you, Heavenly Father. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the owner and the finisher of my faith. You are the beginning and the end. Oh, who is like unto you? Sister, do you believe those things? Or are they now like, I grew up in the Catholic Church, are they now like the Apostle Creed? I believe in one God, the only Father Almighty. We've said it so much. We've said it. But do we believe those things? Do you believe that Jesus is Lord? Do you believe? Do you believe that God is good? Do you believe he's faithful? Do you believe he's El Shaddai? Do you believe he's a good father? Do you believe he's a savior? Do you believe that he's rooting for you? Do you believe that he loves you more than he loves yourself? Do you just believe him? Literally. It gets to a point in our life when we begin to take a lot of things for granted as human beings. And today I just feel that the Lord is awakening us to our consciousness of who am I to you? Literally, who am I to you? Who is Jesus to each and every one of us? A few of us have seen him as a healer, but do you know him as provider? A few of us know him as restorer. Do you know him as defender? Today Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Come to me. You see, belief is a very important part of our walk with God. So he even spells it out in James. He says, without faith it's impossible to please God. So can we honestly ask ourselves this question and give honest answers to ourselves? Can we break the religious mentality and ask ourselves, how much do we believe that what God cannot do doesn't exist and it is not a slogan? Because that's the slogan now, everywhere. What God cannot do does not exist. What God cannot do does not exist. But then you have trusted him for something, but you have also gone behind to speak to somebody to help you to say how far, without direction. Because sometimes the Lord will send you to people. What God cannot do does not exist, but you've had this pain on your thigh that you've been carrying for close to all the days of your life. So do you actually believe these words that you speak? Do we believe these words that we speak? I feel that the Lord is calling us today to begin to commune with him based on our experiential knowledge of him and our revelational knowledge of him. So yes, experience can show you some sides of God. But then there's the place of the Holy Spirit to also begin to teach you who Jesus really is. You can't become what you don't know. You can pretend to carry the thing, but you cannot become. Becoming is total submersion, total oneness. You cannot become what you don't know. And so, I don't know who and who is like me, but Jesus is calling us today to kindly have the honest conversation with him. And like that father who said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. The few of us that are on that table, in that stage in our lives, let's have those honest conversation. For some, it is, please teach me what it means to really believe. right? For some it is, please restore my faith. And that brings us to the state of our hearts. I know that a lot of people are very, very spiritual. I'm still praying I'll get there someday. But some of us have not forgiven God. You haven't forgiven God for the fact that you prayed, fasted, and your mom died. You have not believed God that after all the sacrifices in school, you came out and still you didn't get a good job. You have not believed God that even if you have stayed and put your eyes upon Him, all the bad girls seems to be married and you are still waiting. You do not believe God that you're still upset with God that I laid it all for you and here I am. Here I am, no child. Here I am, I'm the most insulted in the office. Here I am, this is happening with me. Here I am sick. There's this prayer that I used to pray when we were small. Lord, don't allow people ask me who you are. Don't allow people ask me where are you. Don't allow people to say, where's my God? Many of us, they've asked us, where's your God? Aren't you just being stupid? And I feel like to share something that happened this morning as I was coming to church. So we're in the Uber together and we had gotten to a T junction and there was a traffic light there. And our place was on red. And while we were there, we seemed to be the only ones in the whole of Ojo Elegba who saw the light that it was red. Every other person must have been seeing green. Because not only were they blaring their horns, they came to hit the car. One driver even came down to advise the Uber driver that, Oga, go. Right? And even I, who was a very good citizen of Nigeria, began to ask the guy, are you sure this light is working? But the guy was confident and said, yes, madam, it's working. As he was about to move the car, the light turned green. And all of a sudden, I just felt ministered to. And I began to talk to him. The guy had to stop the car and turn. I said, do you realize that what pressure can do to our life? Do you realize that we can be on the right track, at the right place, for the right reasons, doing the right things? And because we are pressurized by what people say, people think, people know, they come. And because they want to do good for us, because they really wanted us to move, they come to us to say, hurry up, take the step, hurry up, move. You can do it. You can do it. We know you. You have the power of God in you. Go and do this. Go and do this. But guess what? You have everything aside from the right time. You have everything aside from the right moment. And you're being pushed by what? But imagine if you knew who you are and your identity, like that Uber man, he knew who he was. He knew who he is. Sorry, everything is. He's still alive. Anyway, and there was just this confidence about him. Madam, this thing didn't work. And I began to tell him, I said, do you know that if you had moved without this thing turning green and another car was coming from the other end and had hit you, you were on the right track. You were doing the right thing, but you went in the wrong timing, so you were going to be wrong. Nothing. It may not have worked. And we began to bring it down to our everyday life. Some of us, we've gotten business ideas. And the Lord says now. The Lord says right now. And then we are there. No, this place is saturated, Lord. No, we can't go into this. And people are saying, are you dumb? How can you go into this? Why will you go now? You understand? You people are not very innovative in your family. You're not very creative. There are things you can do. But you know what you have heard of the Lord. You know why you are standing where you are standing. Can we no more be pressurized and just believe in the one who has called us? Can we just simply believe in this God? And I feel the Lord will have me speak to this because I'm a living epistle and example of this. I know pressure from all areas of my life. I know pressure. But then even at the tick of it, by the help of the Holy Spirit, there's always a point to go back and say, God, are you still saying this? Is this it? I can't believe it. Hallelujah. A miracle just happened, people. Praise God with me. Pastor won't let me climb this pulpit again. You know, I told everybody that I won't take extra time, but I'm almost done. So basically, we come to the place where greater works is possible, right? Greater works is the Lord's desire for us. And yes, the state of our heart is important. Yes, we must not hold grudges. Yes, we must fast. Yes, we must pray. Yes, we must speak from the place of authority. But if we do not believe Jesus and all he has handed over to us, then my brothers and sisters, how do we harness all the benefits in that name Jesus? It's like wanting to get into rooms where the entrance door is locked. How do you believe one whom you do not know? Let's even leave religiosity aside. Remember, he's here. He shows you the way because he is the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. Praise God. Maleos atalegerebos ifleala hashta sopaleosis. Kikana makutalearabos ikele akatosis. Jesus, the Son of God, I believe.